Hi, everybody. We're back. It's Turn It Off with Tracy. Hi, Tracy.
Robert.
We watched one of my favorite horror movies of all time.
This is one of your favorites.
It is. It is. 1981's Dead and Buried, which is relatively obscure. I had never even heard of this movie until I saw it at an Exhumed show. Oddly enough, I thought I was at least familiar with all the big things, but they played this, and I was just blown away by how scary and creepy and weird it is. It is written by Ronald Shusett and Dan O'Bannon, the two guys who wrote Alien. This was kind of the next thing that they did. Unfortunately, this movie, and I'm only getting into the history because it's germane to what we're going to kind of talk about in a moment. This movie was made. And it was made mostly as kind of a spooky horror movie type thing with not a lot of violence or gore.
Not a lot.
And then while it was being made, the studio that made it went out of business, sold the movie to another company. Then they went out of business and sold the movie to a third company. And that third company was like, this is way too
mild
and ghosty, as opposed, we want a gore. So they gored it up. The scene that caused you to turn this movie off at 30 minutes and 45 seconds, for those of you keeping tabs at home, Chris Lewis, you know who you are. The reason you wanted to turn this off is that scene where the nurse shoves the needle in the eyeball of the guy. And that caused you to turn it off. And that scene was just added because they were like, they wanted more gore.
There is nothing grosser in the entire world.
Right.
And I thought burning to death was the worst thing that could possibly happen.
Right.
Stuff touching your eyes.
I warned you about that scene because I didn't. Because like I said, I think this is a really great horror movie. And the gore stuff I don't think is necessary. And the director, Gary Sherman, I don't think he's like disowned the movie. But he's talked about that he's unhappy because he feels like part of it's not his movie, which is understandable because they went in and like forced him to shoot stuff he didn't want to shoot, or they had other people shoot it. And when you think about it's kind of like there's no good reason why the nurse does that to him, because they want it to look like,
that's what I mean, they're like unnecessarily cruel.
If you're trying to get the cops off your trail, the last thing you want to do is stab the guy in the eye while the cop is in the hallway. Because then he's going to know. So, you know, it's kind of, it really is that the horror movie as a genre had really started getting gory by the early 80s. And everybody was like, no, we got to really ramp up the violence. And so that's why you have those scenes in this movie. I was really reticent to show this one to you because for those reasons. But I still like this movie so much because it is just very strange and creepy. And it's got the whole idea of the nightmare town, which, you know, I find really creepy, like a conspiracy of people that are
like
in on it.
Like Hot Fuzz.
Well, this movie's an inspiration to Hot Fuzz.
Is
absolutely,
it really?
Yes. Edgar Wright talks about this movie as one of his inspirations.
Didn't I say I got Hot Fuzz
you
vibe
did.
Off
it? It is. That is very much it. And originally, this movie was a little more of a comedy. Like, it had more of a lighter tone.
That's hard for me to
And then,
imagine.
Like you said, they went and gored it all up and added a bunch of stuff. I still think it's really good. James Ferrantino stars as the sheriff who's investigating a bunch of murders. Jack Albertson from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory plays this really creepy mortician. Melody Anderson from Flash Gordon as James Franciscus's, or Ferrantino, not Franciscus, James Ferrantino's wife. And except the whole thing opens with the scene of the photographer who looks like the captain from Captain and Tennille. And he photographs that girl who shows up on the beach. She takes her top off because it's the 70s. And immediately a bunch of people grab him, set him on fire. And, you know, and then
they beat him to a pulp.
They beat him to a pulp, and then they set him on fire. So clearly there's something really weird going on in the town. But anyway, I appreciate that you got through as much of this movie as you did, because I know this is kind of tough going.
Yes,
so
it is.
Like I said, 30 minutes and 45 seconds. This was the movie I wanted to show you the weekend of my birthday. But you got sick, and we weren't, everything got kind of moved around. And so I normally probably wouldn't have showed you this, because this is really pretty grim.
Except you were going to show it to me then.
Grim stuff. Well, that was, I was like, we're going outside, we're going far afield because it was my birthday. So we didn't get to do it.
Your birthday present to yourself.
Yes.
Was to totally gross me out.
Yes.
Aw.
You're welcome.
That's really sweet.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Yes. So do you want to know the rest of this movie?
What happens?
Okay.
Not enough to watch it.
All right.
But
for everybody who, anybody's interested in seeing this movie, hasn't seen it, I really highly recommend it. I think it's a really great horror movie. And it's relatively unknown, so it deserves to be. So if you haven't seen it and you want to see it, don't listen to the rest of the show because we're about to spoil it. Anyway, what happens is there's a bunch of more murders pile up, and we start seeing that the murdered people, the guy that looks like the captain and the sea guy, the boat captain, they start showing up as members of the town. At one point, a family shows up, and they go get gas, and the gas station attendant is the guy who they kill in the beginning of the movie.
And the photographer, or the drunk?
The photographer guy. And so you're like, what's going on? Like, how can that guy be alive again and perfectly fine? So basically what you find out is, long story short, Jack Albertson, the mortician, has found a way to reanimate dead people. And so when everybody...
To keep his art alive.
So basically the whole town is nothing but dead people that he has been reanimating.
Is he alive?
He's alive.
Okay.
So he's been reanimating all these dead people, turning into like some sort of bizarre puppet master thing. There is a really creepy sequence, genuinely chilling, and it's just
what we saw was genuinely chilling.
Even more than that, and the way it's done is that James Ferrantino's character ends up watching this film strip that was recorded, and he sees his wife in bed with somebody. And she's in bed with like one of the dead people, and one of the he's not dead in the film, but like we know that this is a guy, so we find out that she's in on it too.
So is she one of the dead people?
And then we find out at the end of the movie that James Ferrantino is one of the dead people. He just didn't know it. Because he confronts Jack Albertson at the end of the movie, and Jack Albertson's like, "You are my greatest creation because you don't even know who you are." And the movie ends with James Ferrantino's like, as his hands start to crumble.
Because he's dying off of
the Avengers.
Yes.
So it's a gut punch of an ending. I'm not doing justice to it, but it's a great. I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, oh my God, this movie's
head blown,
bonkers and weird and creepy, and just again the whole notion of the Nightmare Town is very frightening to me. But yeah, you couldn't get through it past 30 minutes and 45 seconds. So
I didn't find the characters compelling enough.
It's a nasty movie. Uh-huh. It's a nasty, dirty, ugly little movie. I know you don't like that kind of thing. Like, you were able to get through The Exorcist because you liked
the mom and the daughter
story, and this doesn't have that. But nevertheless, I don't know. I was curious as to what your reaction would be. So
yeah, no, I didn't like that.
You didn't like it at all?
No.
Potter's Bluff, the town of Potter's Bluff.
The town of Potter's Bluff is full of a lot of... If you ever see a town called Potter's Bluff, it's full of really mean people.
Yep.
That they all felt compelled to film and photograph.
Yep.
And sort of now that doesn't make sense. Like, why do dead people want to...
It plays into it. I forget exactly how that... But that's part of it, too. It's because Jack Albertson's controlling them all. He's like this puppet master type guy. Yeah, it's a very... Like you said, it's a creepy, dark... weird movie.
It is.
And we had to know, too, in that opening scene, you know, where the captain is there. I keep calling him the captain, but because he looks like the captain. The captain.
Something boy.
She calls him Freddy, but his name is not something else. But, like, when he meets that girl, and, like, she immediately...
He calls Lisa.
And she immediately takes her top off, and he's like, oh, okay. And you're like, dude, you got to know. Yeah. Random women just don't take your tops, don't take their tops off and everything. I think you got to know this is a trap you're walking into, but... You know.
It's either a 70s movie or it's a trap.
Yeah. When guys think with their dicks, they get into trouble. That's what happens. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And that is why it is used as a vehicle for so many different...
Exactly. Yeah. So, to pull back the curtain a little bit, like, we have some other things we were going to watch tonight, and Tracy wanted to do some lettering work, some of your artwork. And, like, I didn't want the whole evening to be eaten up by watching this movie, but I knew it wouldn't be because I knew you wouldn't get through all 94 minutes of this movie. So... Half an hour, we're done.
There you go.
So, yeah, that's that. That's Dead and Buried.
Thanks, dear.
Do you have any fun at all?
Fun.
Well, I guess it shouldn't be fun.
I do not think it means what
okay.
I think it means.
All right. I had so many choices and you know, I went with this one, so.
Okay.
Sorry.
Are you?
I am a little bit. I want you to watch something that you enjoy. I have another idea that maybe would be something you'll find more palatable next time.
Okay.
So, anyway, I guess that's going to do it. I've done all the talking for this one. We're Dead and Buried.
I talked.
You did. Talked a little bit. Like I said, thank Dan Fraga, who, for everybody who doesn't know, our mutual friend Dan Fraga is one of the ones that helped put me and Tracy together, him and his wife. So, Dan has brought me many great things into my life. You, Dead and Buried.
Nah.
It's a good list.
Thanks, Dan.
So much. Yeah. So anyway, I guess we should mention we probably won't do another episode between now and when this happens. Just, you know, to show that I'm not a bad guy. Mm-hmm. We are going to see The Sound of Music on the big screen
on
in
the
a
big
week.
Big screen.
So I'm going to sit through all 3.5 hours of The Sound of Music just because you want to see it. So
thank you, dear.
It all balances out.
Does it? Does it really?
I think it does.
Okay.
You only watched a half an hour of this. You're going to sit through 3 hours and 10 minutes of Sound of Music. So there you go.
You were the one that looked it up.
I did.
And brought it up.
I thought you would like
I'm
it.
I'm not holding a gun to your
no,
head.
No, you're not. Okay. All right. Or a needle to my eye.
Or a needle to your eye.
Yeah. So.
That can be our new go-to.
There you go. Needle to your eye. So. All right. Well, again, I don't think there's anything else to say about Dead and Buried.
There really isn't.
It's a great movie. It's a dark, grim.
It has jump scares.
Nasty little horror movie.
Yeah.
And it's got a lot more going on than what a lot of horror movies had by 1981, because there was a lot of slasher stuff. This has got a lot more creep and mood and atmosphere, and that's what I like about it. So I'm really, it's a movie. For people that want to see a good horror movie, this is one I always recommend, because not a lot of people have seen it, and it's one of those just a real shock of like, wow, this is really terrific. So. Anyway, that's it for Dead and Buried. That's it for this episode of Turn It Off with Tracy. So before we sign off, we have to do listener feedback from our last episode, which was The House of the Devil. So Chris Lewis responds, the man who did the Scream spreadsheet of terror.
Yes.
He says, I'm delighted you liked the spreadsheet. It was a labor of love. I had no idea that Tracy was such a fan of Google spreadsheets.
Yes.
I have added nothing to your quote, so this is exactly how funny and entertaining you both are on the show. I'll post the link here, and anyone else wants to read it and relive the past year of Turn It Off. Isn't that nice?
That's sweet. Yes. Thank you, Chris.
Yes. You do love your Google spreadsheets.
I love a spreadsheet, man.
Yeah. It's perfect. My buddy Chris Franklin says, first off, Chris Lewis, genius. Well done, sir. That's fascinating stuff. I could see a series of spreadsheets detailing tropes from this series. Can you imagine the metrics of how many times Shag said she's hot and why? Or how many times Cindy and me has hit me and why? Or how many times someone...
Wait a minute. Hitting is allowed?
No. No, it's not.
But Cindy does it.
So what? Two wrongs don't make a right. Or how many times someone makes a reference to Ryan being broken after Last Jedi? That happens all the time. I haven't heard of this movie, even though I had it spoiled for me. My decision there. It sounds good and creepy. I may have to check it out. Tom Noonan was the Frankenstein monster in Monster Squad. He was the guy in the House of the Devil, the creepy dude. The one that, you know.
The creepy dude.
You know, well, you know, the guy that invites her in and,
okay.
You know. Now there's a movie Tracy should be able to make it through, The Monster Squad. Well, the possum eating at the beginning may be an early speed bump. I'm not showing you Monster Squad. This is a very silly movie. David S. Gutierrez, Chris, you should definitely keep track of the number of times your spouse strikes you for no apparent reason. It's good for police records. Chris Lewis says, thanks for the offer, and I'm going to let somebody else tackle She's Hot spreadsheet of lavishness. Yes, that's something Shag says all the time. So that's the feedback for the last episode. No, you're not allowed to hit me. That's not a thing. So
I think it's a thing.
Oh, thanks a lot, Chris. I should have edited.
Thank you, Chris.
I should have edited this feedback section before you started talking. Anyway,
rookie mistake.
So anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of Turn It Off with Tracy. Thank you so much, Tracy, for indulging me on Dead and Buried. I know this was a
thank you for
real uphill
for
climb.
Showing me such a lovely film. You broadened my horizons.
I like to think so.
Again.
I like to think so. Do you want to watch MASH to decompress? I'm going to put that on afterwards.
Yeah, I think that would
okay, that'll work. So, all right, Chris, add that to the spreadsheet. That's the decompression. Smash, so.
And I think I probably need some Twizzler pull and peels. You have time.
For everybody, she just checked the clock to see if CVS is still open. Are they still open?
Yes.
Okay, all right, I'll go get... So, Chris, add that to the spreadsheet, Twizzler pull and peels. That's what we're doing.
Cherry,
yeah. Anyway, all right, I got to wrap it up before CVS closes. So, thanks, everybody, for listening. As always, Tracy, I love you.
I love you more.
Bye.
Hi, I am Guillermo del Toro, and you're in Trailers from Hell. I'm about to introduce Dead and Buried, 1981, Gary Sherman. And this is one of the three movies, count them, three, where I utilized a fake mustache to be able to buy the tickets because of the rating. The fake mustache was horrible. It was made out of a piece of a fake male hair chest. I don't know why they sold it in the wig store, but they cut me a little swab, and I put it on top of my. It was like a fake Errol Flynn mustache. It matched my hair color somewhat, but it had a thick latex layer on the bottom. I don't think I fooled anyone, but perhaps the ticket seller thought the fat boy was deranged enough to attack her because he had a piece of plastic glue with some curly hair over his lip. So, whatever. I got the tickets for this, Holocaust 2000, and the attack of the eyeless death, attack of the blind terror. And, you know, this movie really was a landmark for me because the mustache worked, but the movie also worked.
This is the road to Potter's Bluff.
I remember exactly where I was and what cinema I was when I saw this movie, and I think the trailer encapsulates exactly what I love about it, which is presenting the facade of a normal town, a middle America, sort of Norman Rockwell-esque, and then gradually but brutally tearing it away. I mean, Gary Sherman had done a fantastic movie called Raw Meat or Deathline, which marked my childhood, if you can imagine what kind of childhood I had. And I was very, very interested in seeing this movie because of him. I was probably the only guy that showed up not interested in seeing it because it was done by the same creator of Alien. You know, I came out for Gary Sherman. What I think Gary does is he has an incredibly perverse sense of humor, and he knows how to do very graphic stuff, very brutal stuff, with a very strange sort of artistic sense. He had a sense for finding the beautiful in the horrible, and the trailer shows this, which is a pivotal scene in the movie, a very famous scene that is sort of a riff on Polanski's The Tenant in a very brutal fashion. And he was aided in the making of this movie by Stan Winston, who does some terrific brutal effects for it. And I think the trailer shows you just enough to entice you, but I urge you in Spanish and in English to go see this movie and see the trailer, of course, again and again. Vean la película.
Of it. Dead and Buried. When you die in Potter's Bluff, expect the unexpected.